Sister Stacy. All right, well, if you would please, in your Bibles, turn to the New Testament. We're going to be looking at Luke, and we're also going to spend a short time in Matthew this morning. But if you would please, turn to Luke chapter 8. That's where we're going to get started at. And as we come into the introduction here, I hope that you're able to hear this, to think about what we're going to be talking on this morning. Have you ever asked yourself this question, and I'll give you some explanation here. Why do people fall away from the faith? And I mean that in two ways. We know that those who have obtained salvation of the Lord, that it's never lost. So in that respect, when I say fall away, I mean backslide, not really active in the ministry, not really living for Christ. You have salvation, but your life's not reflecting it. You're not doing the things you ought to be doing. You're not living what you've been called to. But then there's another side of falling away. Those who hear the gospel and they acknowledge it to be true, but they never really dig in and make it their own. They never really accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, only that He is the Savior. They never really make Him their God. Those are the two different ways that I can think about this. And I think we all have seen one or the other, or maybe in times of our life, we've been one or the other. I think we've all known people who we say, well, hey, they're so-and-so. Yeah, I remember when we used to go to church all the time. They used to go to church here. Man, we used to spend, you know, Bible camps and revivals and all this stuff. And, you know, I haven't seen them in church in years. You know, last I heard, I saw them doing this or that, or I heard this and that about them, and man, I wonder what caused that change. They used to be so devoted. They were here every time the doors were opened. Or maybe you've got those others who maybe used to have a testimony and say that, you know, yeah, they believe in Christ, and then they used to go to church, and then maybe they tell you that they no longer believe that their minds have been changed. Have you ever stopped and thought to yourself, what causes this? How does that happen? What's taking place? Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about that. You know, you might be asking, why is it that so many Christians, so many people who come to church, they don't have a desire to read the Bible? They don't have a desire to have a strong prayer life. They don't have a desire to go soul winning. They don't have a desire to get out there and get involved in ministry and to take time out of all the other things for God and for what He's called us to do. Why is that? Why is that? Why does it seem like we all just keep going through the motions? And I mean, by and large, we as Christians in general in America, do you not see that trend that there's so many who go to churches week after week, but so many of them you never see them anywhere else other than on Sunday. It almost seems as if they're coming to the church, but it almost seems as if they're not invested into the gospel. Well, what's happening? Well, I think that what we're seeing there is people who are not rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. And that is the topic of the message today. Being rooted in Christ. Firmly and deeply rooted in Christ. So before we get into that though, please join me. Let's pray for the message and then we'll get right into this. Father God, we come before You this morning. Lord, we ask that, Lord, You would, Father, be with us, that You would open our ears, Father, that You would open our hearts, Father, that You would help us to see the truth, to take a clear look at our lives, Father, to take a look at what was done on the cross. And Father, we thank You, we worship, we praise, we glorify You for what was done on the cross, for Your unfailing mercy, for Your forgiveness, Lord, the fact that You could see us and all that we are, Lord, and You could reach to the depths, Lord, of the very depths, those, and bring us back from the brink of hell, Father, and say, no, I shall not allow you to go into hell. I shall pay the penalty for your sin. You are forgiven and make us your child of God. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that which took place upon the cross of Calvary. Father, help us to reflect on our lives in truth, to have a clear picture of what we're called to be, Lord, how we are accomplishing that or failing to accomplish that. Lord, those of us who don't have You, Lord, who don't know this, Father, give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us a mind that Father, is focus continually in a life that's focused continually upon You. Lord, bring us by Your mercy, by the power of the Spirit, to a saving faith, Lord. Bring us to salvation. Father, those of us who do know You, Lord, help us to be the men and women that You've called us to be, Lord, to have a fervor and a fire in our heart that does not die. Lord, not only to be disciples, but to be disciple makers, Lord. Father, we pray these things that You'd be glorified. I pray that You'd be with me this morning, Father, to bring about the message You've placed on my heart about how deeply we are to be rooted in Christ, about how we get our nutrients from You, our strength from You, Lord. It is You upon the rock that we stand, Lord. You are that which gives us our strength. Father, help me to speak clearly and accurately, that you would be glorified and that many would be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning I want to begin there in the 8th chapter of Luke. If you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 8. If you would, please go to verses. We're going to read verses 5 through 8 this morning. Very well-known swath of Scripture, but we're not going to read the entire parable. This has to do with the parable of the sower. I want to take a few different illustrations that we find here, and you often see throughout the Word of God this language being used, this illustration of harvest, sowing and reaping, planting, branches, the vine. We see this used multiple times, especially by Christ. I want to take a look at one of the things that he says. So if you would, please, Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says, and these are the words of Christ, mind you. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as I was saying, each of these images of the seed, they are in and of themselves an entire sermon. We could speak on any one of these images that he gives here, speaking of the different types of seed, the different ground that the seed falls upon. We could speak on any one of those. But we're not going to speak on all of them, just the one today. Just the one. And the one that I want your attention on is those that fell upon the rocky ground. Those that fell upon the rocky ground. Because I want you to take a look at what Jesus says about that a few short verses later in verse 13. He says, and he's explaining the parable here. Now that he's given it, you've heard that. He's now explaining what it is he's trying to say. He explains the parable. He says, speaking of the ones that fell on the rock, he says, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these, they what? Have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They have no root, and so they hear it, they acknowledge it, and at first it seems like, okay, I hear you, I'm with you. But as time goes on, it doesn't take very long either. They soon fall away. That fervor, that belief, that faith, that hope, that trust, it seems to go away, and they become just like they were before, as if they'd never heard the word. They seem to live the life as if they didn't ever have that. Why does it say that happens? Because he says that they have no root. No root. I want you to look at something. What happens here is what I believe happens to so many that are brought up in good Christian homes, that have the blessing of being raised in America where Christianity is the primary nation, where there are so many good people of God. Why is it that we see such an abandonment of the Word of God? Well, in some ways, yes, I would say that it's because of the church itself, some of the things that we've done, but that's not the focus of the message this morning. The focus of the message this morning is the answer to this is because as they fall away, they begin to desire more things of the world and less of Christ, because the roots of the seed which is being given, because it falls upon that rock, those roots are not, they are not drawing nourishment from Christ. They're drawing their nourishment from the things of this world. And as you know, and I'll dive into this a little bit deeper, every single plant, all of the analogies, all of the illustrations I spoke to you earlier, seed, reaping, sowing, vine, branches, the tree, all of these things, they get their source, their nutrients, that which sustains them from their roots. And what their roots are in is what they're going to grow into and grow from. I believe that's what's happening is the roots, and so many of us, so many of those that we know, they're not deep roots, or there's no root at all in Christ, the one that sustains, that identifies, that nourishes, that strengthens, that provides for Christians. And that's what we're to be rooted upon. And if we're rooted upon the rock of Christ, not just rocky ground, but if we're rooted upon that, then when the storms of life come in, when marital issues come up, financial issues come up, emotional issues come up, death of a loved one, any sort of thing that this world can throw at us, we are not shaken, we are not stirred, we do not fall over, we do not tremble. Why? Because our roots go deep. Has anyone ever tried to fell a tree? I mean, not cut it down, not that kind of fell, but I mean push it over, pull it out, pull it up. There are little twigs that, well, I guess they're small trees because I probably should have weeded it a long time ago in my yard, and I'm sure you've had them around yours where you see what's the beginning of a little tree there, and you're like, oh, I can just pull that up. You get there, and a full-grown man can sit there and pull on what seems like such a small thing, and it doesn't move. Why? Because the root is holding firmly to that which sustains its life, and it will not be moved. How much so is that like the life of a Christian should be? Firmly rooted to Christ. Folks, that's what we lack here in America by and large. That's what the church is lacking. That's why you see so many that say they're Christians, they're in church, but you look at their life throughout the week, you look at their life any other time, maybe it's our own lives, we even have to reflect on that and say, God, am I rooted deep in you? Is that where I get all of my nutrients from? Is that what sustains me? Is that my purpose for living? Or am I living for me and you're just my insurance policy? Am I living for me and just claiming that I live for you? Paul said, to live is Christ. Not I live for myself and Christ as a part of my life. No, he said, my very life is Christ. And because his life was Christ, to die was gain. Why? Not merely to die physically, because dying physically would mean that he's one with the Father. That's not what he was saying, though that's part of it. It's two parts. He says to die, yes, is gain because I get to go be with the Father. But he was speaking during his life because he lives for Christ. Dying to the life of Paul was gain, for he gained Christ in it. Can we say the same for us? Is that how we see it? Is that how we live? Do we live every morning and wake up and say, God, today I'm going to do things for you? Not my will, but thy will be done. God, my desires, the temptations that I have, the weaknesses that I have, God, I put them aside and I say, it is upon you that I'll draw my strength. It's upon you that I get my hope. It's upon you that I look for wisdom. It's upon you that I look for blessing. It's upon you that I look for acceptance. Where are your roots? If they're in the world, then you'll be of the world. But if they're in Christ, then you are a Christian. It is not merely a title. It's not because you come to church on Sunday. It's not because you look the part, you talk the part, you know a bunch of verses. That's not it. It's what sustains you. It's what your life is about. Are you rooted in Christ? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this. Paul's speaking and he says to the church there at Colossae, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ, Lord, Christ Jesus the Lord, so as you have received him, so walk ye in. I want you to listen now closely to Matthew's account just of that little part of the parable of the sower, because Matthew gives account of it in his gospel too. And we're not going to read his whole account, just the part about the rocky ground. Listen to what he says, and because I like the way Matthew says it even more than I do how Luke says it. Matthew says this in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. He says, speaking of the seed again, this is Christ speaking. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up. So it looked good from the onset. It looked good off the beginning. At the beginning they were filled with what seemed to be the fire, excitement. They were all about it, right? Forthwith they sprung up real quick. Yeah, all right. They received the word. But then what's it say? Because they had no deepness of earth. Because they were not firmly rooted. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they what? They withered away. And I won't go too far on this rabbit hole because I easily could. You guys know me. I get those thought bubbles sometimes and I'll chase them. All right? I got to be careful. Read what I just said to you about in Matthew here in his account. Remember the statistic on what they say is happening and what we think we're seeing. What happens with the majority of young men and women of the church who've been in their church their whole lives within a year or two of the time they leave their homes? It says they leave the church, they leave the faith, they deny the church. Why? Not firmly rooted. Not firmly rooted. What happens? The sun that comes out and scorches them, it's the world. It's the theology of the world. It's the belief of the world. It's the knowledge of man, which is no knowledge at all, truth be told, that scorches them. And because they're not firmly rooted, because they're not grounded in Christ, they wither, they fall away. What I want to bring out to you is that without being rooted in Christ, we wither away. It's what's happening to the church everywhere that I look. And I have to ask myself, what is the cause? To be rooted and built and established in the faith is not something that happens overnight, though. It's not something that happens overnight. And I think anyone who's been a Christian here for some amount of time can tell you, the faith and the hope and the confidence that we have, the reliance upon Christ, it doesn't come the very minute that you get saved. I mean, it does in some respect, of course. But I'm talking about the strength, the maturity of your Christianity, the strength of your Christianity, the strength of your faith. It comes over a lifetime, through a lifetime of trusting in Christ. It comes through a lifetime of living for Christ. Spiritual maturity isn't something that just happens. Knowledge of God and understanding of His Word and His will for your life doesn't just happen because you put on a suit or a nice dress and come to church on Sunday. It comes from a relationship with Christ wherein you are seeking His approval, you are seeking His pleasure, you are seeking His glory. And that is what drives people to want to get up early, to take time out and say, God, I will spend time in your word today. Not because of a feeling of expectation. Anyone who says, yeah, I'm going to get up and read today because that's the expectation, I need to be reading my Bible. You're not going to do it. Truth be told, let's be honest, that's never going to hold. What makes you get up and want to read the word of God? A desire to be with God, being rooted in Him, saying, God, it's upon you that my roots are deeply holding firm, and it is upon that that I want to draw this morning. And so I have a desire to know you. I want to know more about your desire for my life. That's what makes you want to get into the Word of God, not because you want to finish the Bible reading plan. What makes you want to get on your knees in that silent time that we're speaking about this morning in our Sunday school lesson? What makes you want to withdraw to a quiet, secluded place and just have time in prayer? What makes you desire to have a continual relationship and communication with God? A desire to be with Him, to speak with Him, to fellowship with Almighty God. And what a glorious and wonderful gift it is, what a wonderful thing it is to think that the Creator of all the universe would say, yes, I, by my power alone, have created and sustained all that is in existence, but I'll make time for you. And all that He asks is that you desire Him to make that time for you. I've taken that for granted. Are you rooted in Him? Is He the reason that you live? Not so you can build your house up, not so you can have all these things, not so you can be happy. Do you think the apostles lived their life thinking, yeah, I can't, I'm going to try to be happy and have the best life ever? No. What Paul said, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Where did their happiness come from? From the worship of their God, the fulfillment of His desire for their life. That is where they found their purpose. That is where they found contentment. That's where they found satisfaction. We spoke for a short time, a Saturday morning at the men's meeting about your purpose for living. What sustains you? Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, I don't feel fulfilled. I feel like there's something missing. I keep trying to do everything, and I feel like I'm still not getting it right. There's still not something. There's something that's not there. There's a void I can't seem to fill with anything. Folks, maybe it's because the void isn't to be filled by you. It's by Christ. And until you get that, you'll be like Solomon. You can go to the ends of this world, be the wisest, powerfulest, most rich person in the world. And at the end of the day, you'll still say, God, there's a hole right here that I can't fill without you. It's always going to be there. Be rooted in Christ. But before you can do that, there are three things I want to talk to you about, and I'll talk to you about them quickly. But there are three things that absolutely must happen if we are to be rooted in Christ, if we are to be Christians, not just claim the title, if we are to live the life that we're called to live, if we are to honor and glorify God and have a life of which that nothing can blow us over. First and foremost is a relationship with Christ. This morning, we spoke about, Brother Keith did actually, spoke about grace. And praise God for grace, for without it we could not be saved. Respond to it if you haven't. Respond to the grace of God in your life. Come and have a relationship with Him. Let me speak to you for a moment about this. Do you remember what I said there, that Paul is speaking to the church at Colossae? And he says there in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ..." Have you received Christ this morning? Truly, not just heard the gospel, not just been to church, not just acknowledge who Jesus is, not just understand what the gospel is, but have you received it as unto yourself? Have you drawn on its truth into your very being and say, Christ is my God, He's my Savior? Have you received Him? That's the first thing. Because, folks, when you receive God, that is when you have a root. After that, we begin to worry about how deep the root is. But without Christ, you have no root at all. And what did Matthew say? What does Luke say about them that have no root? It dies. It withers away. It withers away and it dies. It's not enough to hear the gospel, know the gospel, understand the gospel, go through the motions, any of that. It's got to be good news, not just the good news, your good news. Good news for you. You've got to love God. And friends, beloved, you should love God more than anything, more than yourselves. Yes, more than your family, more than anything. Why? God's everything. He's everything. So first and foremost, you need to have a relationship with God. And this is something which shakes me even to this day, and I hope that it always does as I think about this, because I know the man that I was, and I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of the things I did before God. But God, in the Scriptures, they shake me to the core when I think about what Romans says. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He looked down on me and He said, Josh, there's nothing about you that I should desire. Not one thing about you is pleasant to me. Not one thing do I take pleasure in when I look upon the life you've lived." But what does it say? It says, "But Christ died for us." He had that love regardless of us. Beloved, it's the same for you. No matter how far you've fallen from God, no matter how far you've been from God, He died for you if only you would accept Him. He'll do the same for you. So first and foremost, relationship with Christ. Second thing, when we come into relationship, you grasp the second without even having to think about it. It's not a work, it just happens. And that's a love for Christ. Relationship with Christ is the beginning. Because of that relationship, you will love Christ if you have that relationship. You will love Christ. I promise you. I put a note here. Once we begin a relationship with God through Christ, we then begin the process of growing in Christ. And that growing in Christ is a result of our love for Christ. And that love for Christ is manifested in all the things that we talk about so often. How do you show that love? How is that love made manifest? By your desire to get into the Word. By your desire that you will feel a burning desire to pray. You'll have a desire to go to God. You'll have a desire to have time alone with Him. You'll be jealous of your time with God. You'll want more of it. You'll never have enough. It's the same as anything that you absolutely love and desire. You can never get enough. You'll have us a little taste of Christ, and all you'll want is more. That's love for Christ. Love for Christ. Here in Ephesians, it says that, what is Paul's prayer? What is Paul's desire for the church? Here's what he says in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. This is Paul's prayer for the church. He says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye..." Being what? Being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which is a love unlike any other. It's a sacrificial love, but the depths of which my words fall short. I could never in the lifetime, in many lifetimes, explain the depth of the love of God. And praise God for that. That was his prayer for the church. And even Paul himself, the apostle, the great apostle, who wrote half of the New Testament, his very next words say the same. He has the same heart. He says, which passeth knowledge. The love of God passeth knowledge and understanding, that ye might be filled. What does that love bring about in us through our desire for God, our time in the Word, our time in prayer? What does he say it brings about? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To live as you've been called to live. That's the only thing that brings it about, is a love for God. Finally, the last thing. Growing because of Christ, for Christ. For Christ. Not to please men, not to have stature in the church, not to be well known, not to be looked at, viewed at as wise, not to gain monetarily, but to grow in Christ, for Christ. I'll explain. We must first grow in Christ so that we may then produce growth in others. Have you noticed that that's what a seed does when you plant the seed? You plant it. It draws its nourishment from that upon which its roots are gripped to. It grows, produces fruit, and then what? More seed is the result. That's what we're to do. But we can't do that until we grow in Christ. You can't be at the same place in your relationship with Christ for 50 years without ever growing and yet be confused as to why you're not seeing more fruit. The reason you're not seeing more fruit is that you may still be a sapling. Maybe you never started to grow. Maybe the roots haven't been deep. That's the first thing. And why should they be? Not only because our love of God, but our love for God, that his word would be given unto others. And he paints a picture of this in John 15. He says, abide in me and I in you. In other words, it's Christ abiding in us that causes that growth. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Remember, I just said this. You can't do it on your own. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except what? It abide in the vine. And that vine is Christ Jesus. He says, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says something very powerful, which men have a hard time really digesting these words. We don't like to hear this, but it's the truth, and I'm so glad it's the truth. Praise God for that. The final thing he says here is, for without me, ye can do nothing. Keith pointed out that a little bit earlier this morning. He says, grace plus anything else is no longer grace. Grace plus is works. Anything plus, anything added to grace is no longer grace. Praise God that we do not get grace. We do not receive salvation because of anything that we do. We don't add anything to it, and we cannot bear fruit. It's all God by grace. Final illustration I want to give you is what happens when we're not rooted in Christ. What happens when we're not rooted in Christ? And yes, I know this illustration I'm going to give you is it is an illustration of Christ, and he doesn't quite use it for this purpose, but I think the context is still the same. There in Mark 21, verses 18 and 19, we see Christ. And here's what he says in the scripture, and then I'll break it down real quick, and we'll get into our closing. In the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered, and he saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it, and he found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now let me give you to you in another light. He sees this fig tree, which I would say represents a Christian. And from afar off, what does he see on it? A tree. It looks strong, looks firm, full of leaves, it says, so it looks healthy, the type of thing which from afar off, before closer inspection, looks as if it should have fruit. But as he draws closer to inspect the fruit, to gather the fruit, what does he find? It's barren. There's nothing there. There's no fruit at all. It just looks good. And it says that the tree withered away. The lesson is that if you don't have Christ, then you're trying to please God by going through the motions, and you'll never be able to. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you do have Christ, then you should know better. Stop trying to please God by your works, by anything other than loving Him with every fiber of your being. If you do that, the rest will take care of itself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. In this you uphold all the law and the prophets. The speaker's just saying amen. Don't get distracted. All right? It's right with us on this. In closing, I want to ask everyone to reflect on a couple of things. That's the purpose. That's why we come to church, after all. It's not just to feel good, but you should feel good. It's to promote that growth. It's so that we can think on these things, so we can dive into the Word of God, so that we can say, God, thank you. I've got some things to examine. Or God, praise God for what you've done. This morning, I've got an examination I ask you to perform. We're called to do that. Reflect on this question. How deeply am I rooted in Christ? How's my spiritual maturity? How's my understanding? How is my growth? Have I grown stagnant? Are my roots deep in? Are they very shallow? Is there no root at all? Am I drawing upon the one whom holds me strong when life's winds come across? Or have I begun to wither like the seed which had no root? Am I day by day less and less the man and the woman that I've been called to be? God calls us to examine these things, to identify and correct our course as needed, always aiming for God's will. This morning, you are no doubt thinking about your own roots, as you should be and as am I. As we close the service, I want to ask if you've taken the first step, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. As I said, without that, you can never hope to grow. Don't be ashamed. Don't be nervous. Don't be shy. It's a wonderful and joyful thing. If you're sitting in the pews this morning and you're thinking, God, I'm not sure. I don't know. I want to know. I want to have that relationship. God, give me roots. Then in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And it's an opportunity for you to say, God, before these people here, I want you to know. I want it to be clear. You're my God. You're the one that I'm rooted upon. You're the one I want my roots wrapped firmly around, held too tightly. Father, strengthen and uphold me by your mighty hand. Here in a moment, the congregation is going to play, and that's an opportunity for you to come down, and I can show you from the Word of God how you can know that you are saved, how you can have a relationship with Almighty God, how you can be rooted firm in His Word. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.